Welcome to Buy Sci-Fi Bite-Sized Finance. I'm Kelly Brothers. I'll be your host, serving up some of the most succulent stories from our region about people, places, and things that impact our community and your financial well-being. I'm sure there will even be a few tasty surprises here and there when the recipe is right. Our goal is to have you learn, think, even laugh a little bit, all calorie-free. I know you'll enjoy what we're delivering right to your kitchen table or dining room or, sir, will you be eating in your car? Wherever you choose to listen. Welcome back to another edition of Bite Size Finance. Kelly Brothers with you again today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Conversations with people mainly in Northern California, talking about their careers, their professions, financial literacy, the business climate in California, talking about all sorts of things. And once again, a reminder, you can hear us on KFBK and KSTE at 3 o'clock on Sundays or wherever you get your favorite podcast. Our guest today is the CEO of Safe Credit Union, Faye Nabani. Faye, great to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
You know, Faye, I've read a few things where you're the first female CEO of Safe, but as I look at the landscape in Sacramento and I see the two biggest credit unions are both run by women, it's more the rule than the exception. So I won't even bring it up anymore. Is that okay?
Awesome. I think that's fantastic. I agree. It's no longer so, new. It just is.
That's great. Take me back to the beginning, Faye, because not many young women grow up thinking, I'm going to run a credit union one day. So take me back to the beginning, you know, where'd you grow up? What sparked in you kind of an interest in business and finance and the way money works and moves?
I will say that, so from take it from the beginning, I'll start with the fact that I started my first job that was scooping ice cream and yogurt at a yogurt store in the Bay Area. And I had no idea where I would end up, not in the least, no clue, just trying to get through school, trying to, you know, learn things. And I think that life takes you on a journey, and finding what you're good at and starting to learn as early as you can, the things that you're good at, also what you're maybe not good at. I learned early what I wasn't good at. And so focusing on the things I was good at, I continued to just pursue from that angle. And it frankly just evolves into, you continue on and you keep pressing forward, and it's a journey. There's very rarely, I think, people have a final destination unless you're maybe a specialty space, perhaps. I mean, a doctor, if you're interested in being a doctor, but something like this, I can't say that it was, you know, I miraculously had this epiphany when I was a young child that I wanted to be a CEO. What I fell in love with was running businesses, solving problems, leading people, and being a part of something special, and then wanting to be a bigger and bigger part of being something special. And that's frankly where I got over time.
And that's a great skill and great knowledge, great self-awareness to know that you could grow into that. Is there, when you layer math on top of that, because you got to deal with a lot of math. I mean, and math to some people can be a foreign language, and some people pick it up like it's their natural born language. Where were you in that spectrum?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'm a very analytical person. I think the math side definitely just came naturally. Going back to the skills, like what are you good at? And as you learn, even as a young person, whether it's organizational skills, whether it's mathematical skills, whether it's analytical skills or risk management skills, you learn that early on. You know, even if you think of yourself as a young person, there's things you learn about yourself early. And so my journey was really through just a course of, it started through lending. That's kind of my start. I was issuing credit cards at Sears Roebuck and Co. before I was even 18 years old for their instant credit desk. And it was a job I fell into from high school I went to. They had kind of a partnership with the back office at Sears. It was a little warehouse in Mountain View. And they liked to hire the young high school kids who were willing to work on weekends. And I was one of them. And so, you know, it evolved from there, frankly, and I kind of fell in love with being able to give people something special that maybe in that moment they don't have the money for, but that it's a need. You know, it's washers, it was dryers, it was refrigerators, it was important life things. And it, I think it, that just really resonated with me, and it continued from there in my lending side, certainly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're helping them get by. You're helping them find a way to acquire some of what you and I might consider to be the necessities of life. I mean,
absolutely.
I wouldn't jump into life without a washer and dryer close by somewhere.
Yep.
But and that was during the days, if I'm not mistaken, Faye, where Sears was trying to, I think they were trying to become, you know, almost like a financial supermarket, didn't they? I mean, they were buying up financial firms, insurance firms, all sorts of things. So that was a good place for a young person to be, to kind of see that.
That was true. The part I worked in was more the retail space, but yeah, they actually had a whole burgeoning moment. It didn't last. And eventually they even consolidated that. It was a Credit Central in Mountain View that supported more or less the Bay Area. And they consolidated it, you know, kind of back east as they realized economies of scale. But I learned a tremendous amount from the credit issuance side, so from the need side. And then I also worked on the collection side while at Sears. And I think it gives you it's a great lens as you think about the people that you're supporting, right? And whether it's, you know, giving them the loan and then learning about their lives and the life situations that are real people situations and asking them for money. It's a very hard thing to do. And so you learn a lot of empathy and you learn a lot of human experience through that. And I think that those roots had a lot to do with where I ended up, to be honest.
My gosh, I give you full credit. I mean, that's not for any young person. That it's hard to go into collections. You're rubbing up against the rough side of life there.
You better believe it.
I mean, it's invaluable because it certainly expands your awareness of your world around you, but most people would rather scoop ice cream than make a call as to why a bill hasn't been paid, right?
I agree. I've always been a very able person. You give me a challenge and I will solve it.
So you're doing that, and is that in high school or college when you have that job?
That was through last of high school and college, starting college. Yep.
Okay. So you start off in college. I mean, were you like most kids? I mean, did you change majors once or twice?
No, I think my journey, interestingly enough, was actually a little different. My parents decided, I graduated high school, and 2 weeks later, they actually moved out of the Bay Area. We lived in Campbell at the time, and they moved to just past Marysville, up kind of more close to here. So I was on my own. I was a very young person in the Bay Area, and I was going to school. I went to De Anza College in the Bay Area and was working through just class by class while working full time. So I didn't get to have the quasi-traditional college experience. In fact, I literally did a test to myself to make sure I knew exactly how long it took me to get my AA degree. It took me 7.5 years to get my AA degree because I worked full time while chipping away class by class to get the AA.
Good.
And then finally
you go
to the secondary, got to get to the next one. And it was always business. I didn't change that, you know, that mantra. So it took me a long time.
But I mean, if you're like us here at Cap Trust, we hire people, man, we see a resume come in of someone who took 6 or 7 years and has a full, you know, work experience alongside that. That is in no way a mark against them. That's actually a positive.
I agree.
If you're looking for someone who you know needs to be able to juggle life and to impose discipline upon themselves to get things done, I mean, that's invaluable experience,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
So you got your AA and then you moved on to, was it St. Mary's? Was that your next stop?
St. Mary's. Well, I actually went to College of the East Bay. It used to be called Cal State Hayward. So I was at State Hayward for a brief time. And then life happens. I got married. I had gotten pregnant and, you know, with my firstborn. And it was really difficult to continue on. It was probably, you know, some way through what would be a junior year. And so I had to put the pause button on that. And then eventually I got to go back and finish off and did a completion program there. St. Mary's has a great kind of like it's a quasi Project Attain kind of concept where you're looking at, okay, you've gotten this far, how much is left? And I finished my degree by going through their Leadership and Organizational Studies program at St. Mary's.
Gotcha.
Much later
gotcha.
In life though.
So, oh no. Yeah, it was. There's your life gets in the way and you work around that.
Yep,
right.
Absolutely.
But I mean, wow. I mean, to think though, that you're finishing up, you're right. There's some kids who just zip through in 4 years because they don't have any financial pressure on them or other pressures. And then there's someone who maybe no needs to work just to keep the rent current. And
absolutely,
maybe you might have a child while you're yeah. And that
real life
to
stuff.
Up,
so. Yes.
Right.
There's a lot of people that.
and that's invaluable. So you did that and you come out, and what was the first job post college? Get out of college.
I was already at Key Point. So I've been in the credit union industry for far too long. I almost don't want to give you how long, because it's so I started at my prior organization while I was still at De Anza College. So I just continued on. And so I've been in this industry and in lending through that entire process. There wasn't so much a college end and onto the job. I was doing the job. By the time I finished college and got my degree, I was a vice president, or maybe it was a senior vice president. I forget the title at the time. I was already there.
That's great. So when you got your degree, did that give you an automatic raise or no?
No.
You had to work your way to the next level anyway.
Nope. Had nothing to do with anything. Yep.
It was just a nice thing to hang on your wall at that point.
It was
right?
Something I needed to do and I wanted to do. It was something I think important, certainly from at a certain point in your career progress, right? And if you asked about, when do you become a CEO and when was your ideology of this is what I want to be in life? At some point you do realize that if you want to be in certain roles, such as a CEO, generally most you would need to have is you got to have a degree, right? You got to finish checking that box. So that was, it was an important thing both personally and professionally for me to finish that off, just in terms of where I felt like I would like to go at some point in my life. And so that's why I continued on.
Absolutely. Faye, we will pick it up from there in a moment. I also want to ask you, I just want to understand better the phenomena of the credit union.
Yeah.
And because I don't think a lot of people know the big differences between a bank and a credit union and understanding why the two structures exist the way they do. So we will get into that after this short break on Bite Size Finance.
Hello, this is Will Gabry, and I am an advisor with CapTrust here in the Sacramento area. I'm a busy father of four, and life comes at us fast. As my 20th year of advising clients begin, I want to take a moment and reflect on why I'm thankful to have chosen this profession. Quite simply, I get to help people. I work with clients on wealth management, income, and taxes, to name a few. But even more importantly, I get to be part of great relationships. People often interact with an advisor during life events, and I've been with clients through difficulties and joyous times. Conversations, connections, and trust built mean more to me than anything else. Working at a nationwide firm like CapTrust gives me a team of professionals to assist in all aspects of financial advising. Being part of our local office means great care and service to our clients. If you would like to start a discussion and see how we can partner with you, you can find me at CapTrust.com. Look for Will Gabry, G-A-B-R-I. Thank you.
Hello, this is Scott Thomas with CapTrust in our Sacramento office. I specialize in working with local nonprofits and associations. Annually, we survey private and public nonprofit organizations across the country to better understand challenges they see in today's environment. In our more recent survey, we heard concerns about proper board governance, mission-aligned investment, and how to implement alternative investments. If you would like a copy of the survey or to discuss your organization, look me up, Scott Thomas at CapTrust.com.
Back again on Bite Size Finance with Faye Nabani, the CEO of Safe Credit Union. And Faye, thanks again for being with us. Let's just go to the basics of what is a credit union and how's it different from a bank, and why do we have the two structures kind of parallel in the banking industry?
Credit unions are, I would say that it's almost like you think of it, we have to do all the same things that a bank does in almost every way. Right. There's all the rules and the regulations and safety and soundness and financial management, good business practices. You got to run a good business and provide, financial services to consumers and businesses. The biggest difference is about being purpose driven. And it's about who you are doing it for. Right. A bank, you have shareholders and the shareholders are expecting a return on their investment. Their investments are part of what, create that bank and the infrastructure around that entity. Credit unions are cooperatives. Credit unions were literally, the first credit unions were about communities providing resources for those who don't have them. So share, you know, gathering funds together to be able to share in times of greatness and in times of need with their peers in the community when they needed it, and to be good community partners, essentially, is really the genesis of what credit unions came from. You know, and that's evolved over a lot of years, and it does, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, what drives us, what motivates me, what motivates SAFE as an organization is about service. It is about providing members with greater value because it's about the member and it's not about my return for my shareholder. And not that we don't typically do a lot of the similar kinds of things, but you know, you could use the traditional, interest rates should be, you know, generally a little bit, you know, a little bit better, a little bit lower interest on your loans, a little bit, you know, maybe better on your deposits, maybe, you know, fewer fees or the fees for the right reasons. It's also about the services in terms of how you're helping, how we help our members when they're in times of need or they have questions or they are trying to understand how do they go about their next steps to create greater financial freedom in their lives. Credit unions are there walking side by side with our members, with our consumers that use our services to help them more. And our investment in them is about an investment in the community, an investment in a purpose-driven organization.
And do you seek out a certain type of member? I mean, I've seen credit unions that go after state employees or go after retired military or what. I mean, what is your membership definition for SAFE?
So for SAFE's membership definition, we are a community charter credit union, and it does come down to the charter. So to your point of a lot of credit unions, if you go back to that historical perspective and people helping people concept, it was in a trade, let's say, organization or an agricultural organization or a school or a governmental, pooling your resources together. And over time, and through some law changes, it became a little more expansive where credit unions could do more just for general communities. So SAFE is a community lender. We're a community provider of services. So it's if you live or you work in one of our counties, you are eligible to membership. So if people think you have to do something special to be a member, well, you really don't. You just have to be, you know, live and be in our trade areas and in our community areas. And we've got many, many counties, and we can serve anyone in those counties. That is right. Part of our bylaws and our ability.
And do you find, Faye, that now you've been in credit unions for a long time, but when you look to hire, can you hire bank employees?
Absolutely.
I mean,
have many.
Do people go back and forth, or do employees kind of get on either a credit union track or a bank track and kind of move their way up?
I think people actually convert more than not, meaning they convert to the credit union space from the banking space.
They find religion.
They find, yes. maybe a little bit. Okay. You know, there's the heart and soul in credit unions, and that does resonate for people. We find many times that a lot of our banking friends will come to credit unions and they'll find that the sense of heart around what we're doing and why we're doing it, and a sense of the values that we say we actually live by, right? And we believe in them. And it is about how we are returning value and benefit to the people we serve, which is our membership, which is, you know, the people who are using our online banking or in our branches or contacting a call center. We are motivated by serving them, which feels better. It's also furthering the community and how we add value to the general area and in the community.
And when you think about SAFE, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, what, besides serving your members better, which obviously would be a number one thing you'd like to do, but besides that, is growth for you, is there a geographic growth piece to this? How does that work?
I think every credit union has a different reason for existing. Our purpose is, you know, how I serve members is our purpose. So growth generally is done naturally, and it comes just by the natural movements of your service to the communities you're in. Growth doesn't necessarily get you anything more. You can always say there's economies of scale is nicer, right? Obviously, there's benefits to that. But necessarily just branching out into more areas does not necessarily mean what it is to serve and be a credit union. And I don't think for SAFE, it isn't about growth for growth's sake. It's about doing more to be able to give back in the right ways. And so sometimes you do need to branch out. And I think of growth not just necessarily in geography, but it's also in maybe products and services. It's in how are we providing more and to the people we serve today, which then by virtue of, I don't serve every single member in this region, and there's many of them I would love to add to SAFE and bring on board to SAFE and to help and support with our products and services that I don't today. And so there's plenty right where we are. This is a growing community. We continue to hit bigger and bigger MSA numbers. I was just looking at some of that. I think we're like the 28th MSA in the country. We're in the top 10.
MSA being kind of a metro area, right?
Yeah, the metro area. Okay. We're you know, this area is absolutely a growing area. And having come from the Bay Area and lived, you know, my entire life seeing that evolve and working for a technology-based credit union in the Bay Area and coming to the Sacramento area has been really awesome. As close as these two regions are, they're very different in how you serve. And what I love about the Sacramento area is it's in this great space of this growth phase and bringing on some of the business and the commerce that is so critical to helping ensure the longevity and health of the area. And there's plenty right here to serve. So you ask 10, 15 years, I don't know what that means in terms of size and shape. I know that there's plenty of great work right where I sit right now that I intend to do.
Yeah. Faye, you never hear of credit unions getting into trouble. When I think back to 08 and 09, a lot of banks got out over their skis. Yeah. A lot of banks needed a little buttressing from federal government monies. And then, of course, you had Silicon Valley Bank a year ago.
Yep.
And you don't hear about that with credit unions, but I'm sure there have been credit unions that financially have gotten out over their skis a little bit, right?
There are a few. Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't happen very often, to be honest. And I think there's something with the behavior of the members that the credit unions support, the relationships that credit unions have with their membership. Believe it or not, statistically has, you know, greater value in a sense of the repayment of the loans. The risks that we have are different than banking because of the relationship-based nature and even the segmentation-based nature of a lot of credit unions, you know, charter in terms of if you're focused on your teachers, they tend to be very, you know, there's a loyalty factor to those relationships that then certainly are a benefit to the organization's ability to withstand, you know, the shocks of any economic challenge. And there are many. Those absolutely factor into it. And credit unions, you know, because we don't raise capital the same way, we have to earn it good old fashioned way. And we preserve that capital. And I think there's probably more conscientiousness, not as easy for us. And we can't just, you know, go out and sell some shares and bring in some more money. It doesn't work like that. So the requirements are more stringent in general related to banks and credit unions. The difference between us, we tend to be just, the relationships really also help and how we treat our people makes a difference.
Plus you're not necessarily manufacturing financial products like some banks got in trouble doing, especially
back in the day. We tend to be more, more mainstay and a lot more on consumer, which tend to have less volatility than, you know, maybe some of the commercial side or business side that have expertise needed that not every organization has. And that's a space where you have to be conscientious of as you approach new businesses as a credit union, that, you know, making sure that your infrastructure is prepared to accommodate and handle those nuances. And some aren't always that way. And that's really where you might see some trouble sometimes, but not very often, thank goodness.
Right. Our guest today, Faye Nabani, CEO of SAFE Credit Union, back with more on Bite Size Finance after this.
For over 40 years, Drobny Law Offices has been assisting clients properly plan their estates and administer the estate of a loved one. With 6 attorneys and 5 paralegals practicing exclusively in estate planning and estate administration, Drobny Law Offices can assist in planning and administering estates from the modest to the largest and most complicated. The main offices are in Sacramento with satellite offices in Stockton, Modesto, San Ramon, Palo Alto, San Diego, and Reno. Unlike attorneys who charge by the tenth of the hour, estate plans are done for a flat fee, including not just the document production, but funding the trust, annual review letters, and routine amendments for life. The attorney-client relationship doesn't end with the execution of your documents. It's just the beginning. Estate planning is an ongoing process. Call 916-419-2100 for a free initial consultation. Drobny Law Offices, your attorneys for life. DrobnyLaw.com.
Kelly Brothers here for CapTrust. We are fiduciaries. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? That means that legally we are obligated to put your best interests over our own. Non-fiduciaries don't have that same legal situation. They can sell you something as long as it's suitable, but they don't have to put you in the best thing for you over their best interest. In other words, they can't just sell you a nice annuity with a big fat commission for themselves, even if it's not the best thing for you. We are fiduciaries. We are proud to be fiduciaries. And let me say something too about price. I am always shocked by the fact that there are people who I know will scour the internet for the cheapest flight or the cheapest ticket to a ball game, but they have no idea what they are paying for their advisor. We tell you up front in black and white, here's what you're paying for what you're getting. Cap Trust here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. Back again on Bite Size Finance, Kelly Brothers with you. Our guest today, Faye Nabani, CEO of Safe Credit Union. Faye, let's talk about, I know what we spend at Cap Trust, and I can only imagine what you spend at Safe Credit Union on digital security, where it feels like every month there's a new threat, there's a new tactic, there's something else you have to guard against. And all it means is the assets of your customers that are in one way or another kind of wrapped up in who you are and what you do. So I think people would be shocked at the amount of money that many financial institutions spend on digital security, right?
I would agree. It's a really, cybersecurity, digital security, privacy, from a legislative cost burden to the technology side to keep our members' money safe is extremely important. And the amount of infrastructure it takes to do that, it is. And it's been harder and harder. Having been in the Bay Area, and where technology is a very, very common topic in every sort of center and corner, even with all of that availability, it was always challenging because there's always some new threat that you're constantly mitigating against or protecting for. And frankly, the bigger you are, the bigger the target you are as well.
Right. But it does, it's just hard to even imagine with the advent of AI how that could even multiply, but it will. It will multiply. It'd be a far bigger problem a year from now than it is now, right?
It is. Absolutely. And it is a constant. We have literally teams of people that are 24/7 monitoring, working on both just from an existing standpoint, but also what do we need of what's coming up to protect in the future. It isn't just about what's today. It's about what do we need to worry about, this year, next year, and the year after, and how is our infrastructure ready to handle that? It is a constant conversation and an effort.
So talk to me about the downside of being with a credit union for the folks who are sitting there listening, thinking right now, why aren't I with a credit union? I mean, their rates are usually lower. They're paying out a little bit more on savings in many cases. But so what is... The only thing that came to mind for me was, okay, if I'm traveling to the East Coast or somewhere else, maybe there's not an ATM on every corner that is attached to my credit union. But even that you've mitigated to a great extent, right? With networks?
Yeah, we have plenty of networks so you can access ATMs across the United States and beyond. I think that the difference really becomes about service level expectations and some nuances, to be honest. I think of it in terms of the cost of technology and spend is very expensive. And I think we're credit unions, it's a challenge for all to continue to keep up with the Joneses, as I say, right? And banks and some institutions just are able to spend a lot more funding on the more slick services and how money moves more quickly and how it's facilitated. And we are constantly kind of keeping up with and trying to, I'd love to be able to say to get ahead. I would love to get ahead, but it is a constant battle because we want to be able to serve our members, serve the way they want, and serve the way that we're competing with the others for their dollars for. And so that spend is a big part of what we do, but it's also a big part of what is different, as you ask. So what could be different? I think sometimes it's some of those nuances and what you're able to do from both your online or mobile applications can be different. I think branch infrastructure, when you have a larger pocketbook, you're able to have, there's more of that available. I think that's also an area where you might have a difference between, let's say, a credit union and a large bank versus maybe some of the more the regional providers are probably more similar to what a credit union would have.
Let's talk about your compensation, not your compensation, but about compensation that you offer and your ability to get the talent you need to come to a credit union. And I ask about this because obviously if they're working at the bank, they might have the chance to get stock options or vest it or get stock along the line. That is not an option at a credit union. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, how you fill that gap. Now, clearly someone would probably want to be a little more mission driven if they're coming to talk to you about a job, which is great. But you've got to get at least close on the compensation side of things, right? How do you do that?
Yeah, I think we do it from a combination of things. I think compensation is more than just your base pay. And you mentioned stock options, et cetera. And, you know, we offer 401ks. You have other tools. It isn't that there isn't anything. And you maximize those. But I think it is about an entire collective that makes a difference about working for a credit union than, let's say, working for a bank. I think your base compensations, we obviously have to be in market, right? We have to be competitive. You can't expect someone to come to an area or not move or switch a career or, you know, learn a new trade, et cetera, if we're not in a reasonable compensation. So base compensation is important. I think the additional benefits are important. We one of the things we do here at Safe is we have great loan and interest rate benefits on deposit accounts that we'll give for our employees that help differentiate us. The other part of it is the engagement component. And so the human spirit of how we engage with our workforce, how we work together, how we hold up our values, and how that resonates throughout the institution. So you feel the difference. There's a reason why a lot of credit unions have employees that are 10, 15, 20, 30-year, 40-year long employees and will not leave. I mean, I'm an example of that. I've had two main jobs in my main career. One was in my prior credit union, the Bay Area, and one is here at Safe. And I would never imagine leaving, because it's what gets me up in the morning. And that is for every one of our employees. They feel that value because it's a part of who you are. So to your point of the mission-based, it is a bit of the component about why you would be willing to sacrifice maybe some of the parts of what would be a traditional compensation for the holistic compensation that a credit union can offer.
Fair enough. So you don't offer any sort of a pension or anything, do you?
We do not have a pension. I wish. Okay. A few credit unions do. A few do. Not very many, but a few do. And those are kind of mostly not, like, so these are even getting kind of more phased out. They're expensive. They're hard. They're difficult. But 401k, of course, profit sharing in years where we can. And then looking for the other ways that are, again, less tangible, perhaps, about what it means to feel like a valued and treasured employee. You know, we've been in our best places to work many times here in the Sacramento area. I've loved being able to participate in that. I think employee engagement and how employees feel about the work they do is really important because it's about how that translates to how we serve our members. And that is first and foremost. And I think our members feel it, which is another reason why that relationship is so strong with our members, is they feel the care from our workforce. That's because we take
great care.
We've been
around for a long time.
Yeah.
How many employees do you have now, Faye?
I would say around 735-ish.
Wow. That's a lot of families
people.
To be.
They're amazing. Yeah. They're
to hold in your hand in terms of their salaries going out every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. You know, look, they work hard, and I would love to pay them 1,000 times more, right? It's a balance, right? Because we also want to be able to provide to our members, right? That goes back to that. We have to handle the cybersecurity and making sure we're safe and sound, and we have to continue to invest in technology. We just finished a core conversion a couple of years ago, which was a reset for us to be able to really start to do some of the even more technologically advanced servicing we'd like to do in the future and being able to plug into that. It was a great system for the years we had it, but it was time to do something more. And so it's balancing all of those things as you run this business to be able to serve, but within the what you're doing for the community as well. I mean, we try to support a lot of community endeavors as well and helping those who maybe are not yet members. I think a strong community helps every business, and a strong business helps the community, both.
So what do you see, Faye, in terms of this region and its economic outlook? There are certainly signs of growth. especially I think about your headquarters, and oh my goodness, when you just think about, you know, how many new homes are going up within 5 miles of your headquarters, it just blows my mind.
Across the street, I can see them right now.
Exactly. I mean, it's incredible, that part of growth. And at the same time,
it's incredible.
We all hear the stories of people who are leaving California for one reason or another. But in general, when you net everything out, what do you see for our economy, specifically, you know, the Sacramento region? As you mentioned, you came from the Bay Area, and there are a lot of people who have now made the move from the Bay Area to the Sacramento metro area, whether including El Dorado Hills and Folsom and Granite Bay and all sorts of areas. Yep. But what do you see for the region? To help, let me look into your crystal ball here. What do you see?
Well, I would say my crystal ball is we're in a place that's actually a little magical, and I love watching it. And it's this place where the traditional Sacramento and the values of who Sacramento has been, you know, the greater Sacramento region, that still remains, and how people feel so strongly in the sense of community, the sense of partnership, and the sense of just good old fashioned people helping people in general. And I used to drive up here frequently to visit my family when I lived in the Bay Area, and we'd meet in Sacramento frequently, and we'd visit the railroad museum, and we'd go and, you know, shopping downtown, and you know, that the wonder of those years. As I moved here and lived here, started to live here, it was about 7 years ago, you could see it shifting, but shifting in good ways and in growth ways, and moving from a lot of the governmental side, which obviously exists and will continue to be, we are the capital of a massive state that has a massive economy, and that capital sits right here. So there's a huge governmental component to where we've been, but that's not necessarily where we're going. And I think that's the magical part about, we have the chance in this region to do things better and different than, let's say, the Bay Area did them, in my honest opinion. And we have that shot, and we're taking that shot. We're bringing in now the business side of the communities, but with the right intention, with the right calibration, with the holistic community values that are so important to this region and how we operate, that will allow us, I think, just the thrivability of the future in this greater region is fantastic. And that is really what's going to make the difference, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years. We have the shot to making California really, really great.
You're right. Yeah, no, you're right. We do have a shot to kind of remake ourselves here. And I want to ask, when we come back, I'm going to put you on the spot specifically, like, what is something that happened in the Bay Area that you think is not going to happen here for one reason or another about the overall growth trajectory? Okay. Talking with Faye Nabani, CEO of Safe Credit Union, back with more after this short break.
Hey, this is John Lockwood. I'm a certified financial planner with CapTrust. And 19 years ago, I made a decision to dedicate my career to helping people make smarter financial decisions. You see, growing up, my parents worked hard, made good money, but they did not understand the complexities of financial analysis, taxes, and estate planning that ultimately led to my parents' worst nightmare, becoming a financial burden on their children. And my calling is to help people flourish financially in any economic environment, to have the fortitude to endure the challenges that life throws at us. I invite you to call my team to discuss our fee-based financial advisory practice to help you live a confident and abundant life. Call us at 916-924-7527 or online at CapTrust.com.
Hello. This is Marcel Plumpto with CapTrust in our Roseville office. I specialize in providing retirement plan advisory services to corporate fiduciaries. While we focus on many areas such as investment management and vendor oversight, it's our dedication to working closely with participants that drives my passion for the industry. Without a high level of engagement between advisors and participants, even well-designed retirement plans can fall short of their objectives. Should you have any questions on your retirement plan, please reach out. Marcel Plumpto at CapTrust.com.
Back again on Bite Size Finance at 3 o'clock Sundays, KFBK, KSTE, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And if you want to drop me a suggestion, an idea, a possible interview subject, feel free to do so, I should say. BISIFI podcast@gmail.com is where you will find me. Our guest today, Faye Nabani, she is the CEO of Safe Credit Union. And Faye, we were talking about this region and growth and the movement from the Bay Area to Sacramento for many people, including yourself,
yep,
including me many years ago. But so you mentioned that maybe there were parts of the growth trajectory that the Bay Area kind of got wrong. What do you see as kind of a mistake that was made that we should do everything in our power to avoid here as we kind of hit the same level of growth?
I think the one of the things that the Bay Area did to itself was, and it's an economic thing at the end of the day. It's, you know, they overpriced themselves. I'm trying to think of how to sort of oversimplify, but when you create it, there was so much creation of jobs and companies and so much money, I think, floating in the area. And this goes way back. I've been in the Bay Area most of my entire life. So I've seen it when it wasn't the technology center that it is now. The sheer growth of that pushed out the communities. It pushed out the people. It pushed out the human beings, which are what make an area great. The human beings and the leadership and the minds and those cultures and those values that are so important to preserve. And it became unaffordable, right? People couldn't afford to live. And so you get further and further away from those centers of influence inside the, and I said the greater Bay Area, right? So that's the whole word, the greater Bay Area, right? You used to be that, you know, you lived in San Jose and then in Campbell, or in, you know, that was kind of like the main Bay Area and San Francisco and the peninsula. And then it became the East Bay and the South Bay and the North Bay and the broader. And it became harder and harder for affordable housing. It became harder and harder to find, you know, people that you had shared common bonds with that you wanted to, you know, do things with. And they had to move farther and further away from the centers of where a lot of that economic commerce was happening. And I think by not being calculating and ensuring that you preserve the balance over a lot of years, it became what it is now, which is an amazing place. But when I have a commute that's commuting 30 miles, mind you, it was a 30-mile commute that I had that would take me sometimes 5 hours in a day to do for 30 miles, it just means we've done some things wrong. We've not created the right infrastructure. We've not created the right, you know, whether it's freeway systems, et cetera. We grew without the right intent or without the right understanding of things. And I think the Sacramento region has so much more heart, probably even to begin with, in my honest opinion, from what I can tell, that the understanding of that being intentional, the accessibility of the brain trust in this area is phenomenal. To be able to talk to and meet with and for businesses and for community partners and for governmental entities and our chambers of commerce and our city council members to be so aligned and so connected and so sharing the journey of what it's going to take to make this an incredible space and to do it with intention and to share the wins, whether it's City A or City B or Town A or Town B, the value of that and the willingness to do the right things and to create the right infrastructure from the beginning will pay dividends so many years beyond. I'm very excited about it. That intentionality and that availability is going to make a really big difference. And it does need leadership. It needs people thinking it through and not just letting it happen by accident.
It does. And I think you're right that we have a chance to do it differently. I'm not sure we will. I got to be honest with you, because so much of it is based on population density, and this idea that everyone needs a half acre or 3/4 acres of land. But I mean, that's what leads to, okay, you got to drive 20 minutes to work or 30 minutes to work or 45 minutes to work. And
I think the road system is a concern. That goes back to if we do it right, we actually maybe could change that. I agree. I think we do need to solve that sooner rather than later, to be honest. It's only going to get worse.
I think these people who are trying to think big about new communities like that group down in Fairfield.
Yes, fascinating.
You know, I often wonder, how is it that in this climate with our incredible topography, that really there is very little between Sacramento and Portland, that you go literally almost 500 miles with nothing? Is it state government that has stymied that, or what is it? But why couldn't we just try a whole new vision of community somewhere slightly north of here? It could be an incredible experiment and change the way we all look at urban planning.
I agree, but I think I think what it comes down to is humans also like to be around each other. I think humans, people like to be with other people, and they don't want to be so far away that it, even in the beginning stages, to have the willingness to take that bet and move out there and then develop something from scratch. And frankly, look, it's also money, right? It's you got to have a lot of resources to start something up. And it's easier to do when there's a bigger payoff faster and quicker in a more metro area, just being realistic about it. But
I don't know, but your parents went from Campbell to Marysville, right?
Well, it was actually called Bangor. It's not even a stop. I think there's a stop sign. I love my parents are in a great place out on 3.5 acres, and they love it. But they love that lifestyle, right? And not everybody does. That's why I stayed in the Bay Area. I was like, I love you, Mom and Dad. Enjoy. I'm staying here. I'm not ready for that. And I think that's why, to your point, we don't have commerce between here and Portland, because people do like to stay a little closer. They like the amenities. They also like the accessibility. They like that. And sure. I think that is absolutely where Sacramento has the opportunities, because there is more of that. And if we do a few things right, I think it just gives us a much greater opportunity to really have some greater success than what we've seen even in the Bay Area from that affordability side and from the value of community side retained.
All right, Faye, last few minutes here, but I want to touch on a few things. First of all, you're a mom. You've got two kids, late teens, early 20s. Talk to me about the undefinable, always out there somewhere idea of balance. Talk to me about that. as a woman, CEO, mom, how does that work, or how'd you think about it? Or just give me your view on it.
You know, everyone will say, you know, make space for yourself, you know, prioritize, you know, you got to spend some of the time prioritizing for you. And I think one of the hardest parts of what you just asked is the guilt. You know, you can call it mom guilt, but it's the guilt of not, you know, when you prioritize for yourself because you know you need to give your brain a break, let's say, but then you're not spending that time on something that is with your children. It's always very difficult. I think you have to learn how to be uncomfortable with that feeling, and it is. You're always going to have it. It's never going to change. And if you want to have a career, if you want to have some of those things, if you want to have be that type of a professional, those are just decisions. And some moms don't want that. Some moms, you know, want a different kind of decision, and all decisions are good decisions. It's whatever's right for you, but you have to understand, again, kind of back to what I was saying in the very beginning, you have to understand yourself and what you're willing to sacrifice, because it is a sacrifice, that it is hard, and there is no one answer. Mentally, you got to recharge, right? And it means you have to not do the things you might always want to do. And that's the hard part. That's the trade-offs.
And as a mom, let me ask you this. How did you make sure your kids had some level of financial literacy that may or may not have been taught in their schools?
Honestly, it's opening accounts and working with them to understand how they work and giving them some of that financial freedom themselves for them to learn the hard way, right? Here's what things cost. Here's how much, you know, it's going to be. And I'm going to give you I would give my daughter's case, I would give her, you know, some funds in the month. I almost like a payday. You get twice a month, you're going to get a little paycheck, and it's going to be to pay. This is more in the high school area where she'd want to do maybe things that, you know, maybe nicer hair treatment, or, you know, maybe she wanted to go with her friends somewhere. And so it's about discretionary decisions, right? You have to choose and prioritize and learn how to prioritize. You have a finite amount of money, so enjoy. And then when you spend it all, guess what?
Needs versus wants.
Needs versus wants, right? It's kind of forcing them to go through that needs versus wants without having the mom lifeline. You know, yeah, they know it's there, but they actually don't have it. So it's a little different. And they learn real quickly where they should or shouldn't be spending, and when they run out of money much faster, what that means. So I think you just have to talk about it. Honestly, it's as simple as you need to talk about money. I've always been very transparent with my kids about money, about taxes, about savings, about the value of these things, and how everything always costs more than you think it does, and how planning is so important.
It is indeed. Faye, can't thank you enough for your insights, for your work in Sacramento, your work at Safe Credit Union. We wish you well in the years or decades to come.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been enjoyable. I love it.
Faye Nabani, CEO of Safe Credit Union, today's guest on Bite Size Finance. Thanks for listening to Buy Sci-Fi Bite-Sized Finance. If you liked what we served up today, please give us your rating, subscribe, and by all means, share. Music for the show produced locally by Kitty O'Neill and her band Skylar's Pool.
Under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, this podcast is defined as an advertisement and includes an uncompensated testimonial by a Cap Trust client. Please be advised that clients' experiences as described in this podcast do not necessarily represent the experience of other clients. The discussions and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speaker and are subject to change without notice. This podcast is intended to be informational only. Nothing in this podcast constitutes a solicitation, investment advice, or recommendation to invest in any securities. Cap Trust Financial Advisors is an investment advisor registered under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. Cap Trust does not render legal advice. Thanks again for listening to Bite Sized Finance.
Kelly Brothers here for Cap Trust. We are fiduciaries. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? That means that legally we are obligated to put your best interests over our own. Non-fiduciaries don't have that same legal situation. They can sell you something as long as it's suitable, but they don't have to put you in the best thing for you over their best interest. In other words, they can't just sell you a nice annuity with a big fat commission for themselves, even if it's not the best thing for you. We are fiduciaries. We are proud to be fiduciaries. And let me say something too about price. I am always shocked by the fact that there are people who I know will scour the internet for the cheapest flight or the cheapest ticket to a ball game, but they have no idea what they are paying for their advisor. We tell you upfront in black and white, here's what you're paying for what you're getting. Cap Trust here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom.